where we are brought up, depending on our location, our geographical location, we are brought up to know a God. Think about it. And that God we know is because of our traditions and because of our geographical location. And I want to speak to the whole world to let them know that there is a God that is a universal, eternal God. And that God has its own laws, not laws written by man. I'm going to tell you right now, all laws are written by man. They say it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that rings true. But it's based on interpretation, revelation, glory. How many people have read a scripture and took it and then read it again and got a deeper revelation? What happened to that law? It changed. It was changed based on interpretation, didn't it? But there's one God and one law that I want everyone to follow and understand. We serve a God, my God, by faith. And that law that is given to us is not the Ten Commandments. It's not the Quran. It's not the, what's the other ones? The Shabbats or whatever. I don't know them all. But they're not subject to the laws written by man. Do you know that? Let's take the Holy Bible, and this Bible, this book here is written and inspired by spiritual men in the book. It's one of the books, the most closest one that I have come to that bears witness with my experience. I love this book. But I want you to know that this book is only understood by revelation. That's it. And I hope and pray that God will inspire you and enlighten you so that your eyes will open up and see the deep things. And with that being said, let's take Jesus. Jesus was a Jew. He says, I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill the law. Okay? Who put Jesus on the cross? God put Jesus on the cross, we can say that, because he's in control of everything. But let's look at a little bit more carnal. Who put Jesus on the cross? The Jews. Now, wasn't Jesus a Jew? Okay. Now, what did Jesus do that was so bad to the Jews? I think he didn't follow the law, right? He offended the law. By speaking the truth. Where did that truth come from? By the commandments of the Lord. By the law written on his heart. He says, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. He followed the law of God. The God that I serve. The God that he serves. The God that we both serve. I serve the same Father, the same God as Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Him and I share the same God. Same Father. The Father of faith. The Father of the laws that have given to us and a life that he has given to us that is written on our hearts. What has happened through time, through generations, we lost the God of faith. And it has turned into a God of traditions, a God of religions. How many religions are there just in the Hindu religion? How many religions are there just in Christianity? How much religions are there in other countries around the world? And so we have to say to ourselves, no wonder there's so much confusion in the world. No wonder they're running around trying to find God. No wonder they're trying to search, because it's now coming down to who's right and who's wrong. It's come down to wars and rumors of wars, divisions of families, states, and countries. All over God. Well, I'm here to confess to the world that I know God, and God has been with you. My God has been with you since the day you were born. My God has been with you and walking with you, and some of you might not even know that at all. And you're still searching around looking for God, thinking he's over here or over there or over there or over here. And he's not. He's right within. He's been with you the whole time. Every feeling that you have. Now, yes, we have to build on this because some people, you know, just seem to be wicked and all that other stuff. I want to put the childish stuff away. Let's get out of the surface and let's go deep. Every feeling that you feel, not the bad, the good. Okay, the bad is only because you were hurt. Bad feelings only come because you were hurt. You were disappointed, rejected somehow along the line, and you got hurt. That's what made you sin, so to say. Bad. Which I don't believe that there is any bad or good, right or wrong, me personally. Your bad is nothing but hurt. And if we can heal the hurt, you'll never be bad again. I truly believe that God lives within all of us, and it's a seed, and that seed is the seed of promise. And that seed of promise, you know, there's a scripture verse that says that all that walk in the flesh are not sons or daughters of God, but they are if they follow the seed of promise. And that seed of promise is within. I have the verse right here. I didn't read it word for word. I paraphrased it. But I'll read it. It says here, it says, that is, those who are the children of flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted as the seeds. And what that means is, God has written something special in all of our hearts. I had a privilege of meeting a gentleman who has passed away not too long ago. He's hearing now. He's listening. And I want him to know how much I love him. Because he's an example of a man who didn't know God, but knew him. And I want the world to get out of their shame and out of their guilt and stop being so subject by the laws of the world, so to say, by the peer pressures of the cares, and not being able to be who they really are. We are smothered and stifled and put in prison because we're reserved. We want to, you know, be something that we're not. But until we finally realize who God is, we can learn how to worship Him and be able to follow and have a relationship with God, an intimate time. Getting back with this gentleman, he followed his heart despite what people thought, what people said, through his fears. He accomplished and ran the race, and he ran it good. I look at that as one who worshiped God. It's not religion. I want to take religion completely out of your life. You know, a lot of times people follow religion because they just want to boast themselves up. You want to truly worship God. You really want to know my God. You really want to be hearing that sound, well done, my faithful servant. You really want to know the way I know Him. Throw the cares away. Throw away what you think people think. Throw your reserves away. Throw all that away. Stop caring about hurting people's feelings. Stop caring about trying to make people happy. Stop all that and follow your heart. Follow the passion, the love, the cares, everything that is inside of you. Learn that. Feel that. Embrace that, because what you're doing is you're giving God a big hug. You're giving my God a big hug, the one that lives inside of you that you don't know yet. Religion, what it does is it separates us. It literally separates. How many people realize religion separates us? There are some good people around the world that would love to be a part of your life, but can't because of religion. And you have to ask yourself why. God doesn't want division. He wants unity. He wants unity to come to a place, but we will never have peace and we will never have unity if we continue to keep religion as a base of life. We have to tear the religion down. Religion is not having a relationship with God. Religion is not having love of God. If religion would have humbled themselves and opened up their heart, they would have probably learned something from Jesus. But instead, they were stiff-necked. They didn't want to listen to one thing he had to say. And not only did they not want to listen to anything that he had anything to say, but then they ended up killing him and ruining the future of what else he could have done. Betterment to the world, betterment to his nation, betterment to his country. You know, a lot of us are judged and condemned for no cause. If you look at 99% of your judgment in your life, you're condemned because you followed your heart. If you think about your situations in your life and where they went wrong, it was because you didn't conform to the world and you followed your heart. You followed the law that was written on your heart and the world came and condemned you. Well, God wants to put away with that. He wants a body that will come together in the same like mind and the same like spirit to be able to build and edify and lift people up, knowing that in their heart they're truly trying to seek and know God and worship Him. You know, people think worshiping God is a form of getting on your knees and doing so many bows and all these other things. Going to the beads and counting the beads and getting yourself to confess your sins and your dirtiness or what have you. But that's not a relationship with God. That is not worshiping God. Worshiping God is coming to a place of being obedient, surpass all understanding, and follow that conviction in your heart. That is worship. I don't think the world really understands who God is and how to worship God. And I want to bring to the world a knowledge of who God is and how to worship Him. When you take yourself out of yourself and you begin to put God inside yourself, knowing that those emotional feelings, I'm not talking about the radical drama emotion. I'm talking about how you feel. I'm talking about your passion, your love, your unctions, your innermost feelings, your cares, your concerns, all that. And you put that in and take it out. It's not yours, but it's God's. Guess what? You're being transformed into His image. You're not receiving the glory that is in you. It's God's glory. And when you begin to take the glory of God and live the glory of God and confess it is God within you, you're now walking in true worship. You are now walking in a place of intimacy and oneness with God, and you're giving God your life. You're giving God your life, and in that, He now begins to quicken you and stir you up and put in a deeper, greater passion. How many people like to know what tomorrow's going to bring? Wouldn't you all want to know what tomorrow's going to bring? Wouldn't you want to know how to bring a healing to someone or whatever? Well, this is possible to strengthen inside of you. When you strengthen God inside of you, He brings a greater awareness of what is. We get involved with God. And when we take the glory of God and live within ourselves, we're blind. We have no eyes to see. We have no ears to hear. We have no legs to walk because we're lame. A lot of us are dead because of self. Self in itself is death. But when we can take self and place it with God, He resurrects us. And He brings new life within inside of us. How many people are beginning to understand what I'm trying to say? Do you know an ego will kill you? How many walk with an ego? I mean, come on, we can be honest. Are you easily offended? If you're easily offended, then you walk with an ego. If you feel as though that you deserve anything, you walk with an ego. And then you have to ask yourself, are you Mr. or Mrs. Ego? Or are you God? Now, when Jesus made a profound statement, he says, if you see me, you see the Father. What do you think he was saying? Right away, interpretation was like, he was God walking on earth. He was. When he left his ego home, when he was able to lead that other thing home, we're so encamped with ourselves, it's very hard to get out of ourselves. Believe me. Listen, it took a while for me to get off of offenses because of the fact that my passion and my love was very meaningful. And I was sincere in the things that I've done. And because people didn't agree with it, I had offense. We have to learn how to lay those offenses down. We're not going to be able to please everybody. We're not going to be able to satisfy everybody. We're not going to get everybody to believe in what you're doing. Not everybody's going to accept who you are. And so we need to begin to understand that we have to die. And in order for us to die, we have to die to this thing called ego. We have to die to self so that we can be resurrected in God. So that we can come to a place of being born again. That we can come to a place of being renewed. So that we can come to a place where we're no longer lost. This is what true salvation is. It's not coming to the altar and accepting this or accepting that. It's actually coming to a place and denying ego. This is true salvation. If people want salvation, it's not in a religion. Salvation is within. When you can leave yourself at the grave, bury it, and then get resurrected into a divine nature, this is salvation. It's not Christianity, it's not Judaism, it's not Muslim, it's life. I personally don't like to put a label on anything as what nationality are you? What's this? What's that? I have to win some because they're just not at that place. So I do confess that I'm a Christian. And why I confess I'm a Christian is because this book right here, the Holy Bible, is the closest one to what I can say, yes. There's no other book like this. But I want you to know that there's more. It's deeper. I want us all to have a deep relationship. I don't want to be deceived. How many here want to be deceived? Come on. No, good. So you're listening. You don't want to be deceived. Okay? But there's a witness. There's a truth that is inside of you. And God is so true and he loves you so much that you don't have to go over here or go over there. It's inside of you. I want the world to realize the God inside of them is the same as me and everything that I get is from him and you can get it too. Amen. And that witness inside of you will protect you, will guide you, and it won't steer you wrong if you cry out and say, God, I want to know you. I truly believe those that are here today and those that are listening have that heart because that's why you're here. But there's going to be a time where I won't hold you up. I won't be your witness. You'll have that relationship. You'll have that intimate relationship. I'm not here to build a church. I'm here to build the kingdom of God. I am here to see people. I love you very, very much, all of you. But I know that you're going to move on. I want you to move on. Those like Pastor Kurt and Pastor Sam, Pastor Tim, they're here. They're not moving anywhere. They have to build the kingdom with me. But others, would it be sad for me for you to go venture? Oh, yes. But I know that God will draw you back because you will find that you need to have that pillar to lean on. And then when you become that pillar, you have my blessings. Religion wants to keep you. Religion wants to bind you. Religion wants to help you have them help them big build buildings and all that other stuff. Religion destroys. Religion separates. Religion puts you in your own little colony and no one else knows anything but them. And it's a real mess. How many people understand what I'm saying? Some people that, you know, can get offended by this type of message because they have built their roots in their identity. I'm this. What are you telling me? I can't be this. And my laws that are written that I followed are the laws that the whole world should follow. Huh, really? So you're going to tell me that I have to do what you're doing? And I have to treat my women a certain way? When I think my women have just as much rights as I do, because in the spirit there is no male or female. Let's get real. Let's be life. Let's put away the childish things that are in the world. And right now the world is going nuts. How many people would agree with me in this area? I mean, I'm saying to myself, where is God? No wonder the world is crying out looking for God, because where is he? I think most of the people are walking around so lost, don't know who they are, so confused, when if they could just settle down and take a seat and begin to open up their heart and say, okay, show me who I am. Show me who you are. Because who you are is who God is. Hear me out. Okay, God is not a picture painted as an image, and then we all have to conform to that image. God is unique. God is unique in each and every one of us, and his love and mercy abounds forever. And there's no judgment whatsoever in God. He loves you for who you are. And so we need to manifest God. As who we are, he is. And the world needs to see that. They need to see you being who you are and love within so that they can see God. No one were able to tell Jesus what to do, did they? Think about it. Did anybody tell Jesus what to do? They tried. What did he say? Peter, get behind me, Satan. I know they're hard words. What we need to do as true worshipers of God, encourage. Believe in those individuals that they believe that they love God. Try to gear them. Try to, you know, if Peter was smart, he wouldn't have been so, you know, overbearing. He would have said, well, Jesus, did you really think about it? And if Jesus said, yes, Peter, I was up all night praying to God about it, and I feel good, then go for it. You see? Then go for it. You know, I'm feeling, but you know what? I didn't really search God like you did. I kind of like sporadically said, don't go. I got my emotions involved. And maybe if I took that time and prayed about it too as much as you did, then I would understand. This is where we're at. We are an emotional-driven society. And then when that person who is truly seeking God spends weeks, maybe months before they make a decision, and then they go to somebody and they're happy because they got the witness, yes, this is right, this feels good. And they go to somebody and they say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. We turn into Peter. No! You shouldn't go there. You're going to be in trouble if you do that. Things are going to go over there and they're going to... All the time, it's always death. Think about it. Think of something that happened in your own life. How many people are understanding what I'm saying? Okay. Well, when you spent those 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever, that those days contemplating whether or not you should do something, you know what you were doing? You were praying to my God. You were praying to my God, and you were seeking him for a witness. And that witness inside of you gave you the answer. It gave you peace. My God is peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, a lot of people have come up to me and said, you know, you're very bold about your God. How do you know that you're serving the right God? How many people have ever asked themselves, what makes this guy right? Look at him. He's all by himself. What makes him right? He's not a Baptist. He's not this. He's not that. Because I got peace. I got joy. I got righteousness. I'm walking like Jesus. I don't care what anybody thinks. Even though I do care. I have a great love. And your words are hurtful sometimes. Think about it. How do you feel? How do you feel? How do you feel? You know, you walk just like Jesus too. Haven't you wanted a have a passion in your heart? Did you ever get knocked down? Well, you walk like Jesus too. I want you to understand the life of God. And I want you to embrace the life that he has given you. And you know what? Let God filter those out. He will bring those that will support you, and he'll take away those that don't support you. In everything that you're in, it doesn't have to be the call of God like me, what I'm doing, standing up here speaking a message. But I'm talking about everything that you're doing it in God. Every passion that you have, you're doing it in God. Believe in your inner being because it's the law written on your life. Jesus was trying to say, you know, I'm not here to destroy your law. You know, it's good to have morals. It's good to have structure. It's good to have, you know, confirmation or whatever you want to call it. It's good. I obey the laws. I obey the laws that are written on the land. I obey the laws of morals, of what's good and bad, right and wrong kind of thing. And that's what he meant. I'm not here to destroy them. I'm here to fulfill them. There's more. There's more. You don't have to stop there. You can come to a place of disagreeing with certain things. Now listen to me. Let's say the law says that the speed limit says 50 miles an hour. Okay? You're not allowed to break the law, right? Or you'll get a ticket. How many people know that law? Good. Okay. Now, let's say that you're with your wife and she's having a baby. And the water broke. And she's got to get to the hospital fast. Are you going to drive 55? Are you going to drive 50? No, you're going to break the law, aren't you? Why? Because your heart's telling you something, isn't it? Your heart's telling you that I got to get here, and if I don't, there's a cost of a life. Well, that's the same thing. There's a cost of life if you don't go. If you don't worship my God and you don't have that in you, there's a cost of life. And I don't want to see you lose that life. That's an eternal life that I don't want you to lose. I want you to be conformed into God. And you might have to break a couple of laws. Now, I'm not talking about going out and, you know, breaking all these laws and trying to justify it based on, you know, what you have inside. Just try to listen to what I'm trying to say here. If there is a dying, desperate passion that's inside of you, I'm saying don't be conformed by what people might say. You know, people might say some things. Don't go there. Don't go there, Peter. I think he broke a law, didn't he? He broke Peter's law. Don't go. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. But he did. He went. and he saved his life. I want you to know that there's life bigger than what you see. There's a joy that comes when you fill your life up. If God is telling you not to do something and you don't feel like doing it anymore and you want to quit, there's a reason. And how many people are going to try to, oh, you shouldn't quit it yet. You shouldn't do that yet. You shouldn't. Weren't we up against that? You need to follow God. And then maybe it was for a season. And it'll stir you back up and put you back in it with a greater revelation of something else. If we don't go with the flow of the wind that is blowing on our heart, we're stagnant. We're stagnant. We're no different than a pond that is just growing green muck. That water needs to flow. And if the river isn't flowing, then you got a stagnant pond. And then what happens in that stagnant pond is you get miserable. And you're walking around miserable. And you don't even know why you're miserable. And you're depressed and you're miserable and you just don't have that overflowing joy and ever-flowing peace. And it might just be the matter of fact that, well, I took a season off. Now I understand why I'm miserable. Because I was trying to keep something alive when God didn't want it alive. I might have to walk away from something for a season and then come back to it. And in that midst, you feel good. Wow, I did it. It's only when your heart agrees is when you get out of the stagnant pond. For example, if God asks you to lay something down and you're kind of tossing and turning, your pond gets really green, you become really miserable and upset, you don't know why you're unhappy, you're saying, geez, I don't understand why I'm unhappy, and it's because your heart never agreed. Now your heart can agree. It doesn't mean that your physical actions actually laid it down. As long as your heart agreed to the law that is written on your heart, guess what? Your pond is no longer stagnant anymore. And you are full of joy. All of a sudden, that depression lifts. And you're like, wow, I feel like a big weight came off of my shoulder. Wow, I feel really good. I believe that there's a lot of stagnant ponds. And those ponds need to start getting the water flowing. And they're stagnant because you're either afraid of what people think, you're either afraid of what might happen. Somewhere along the line, you're not obeying the commandment on your heart. And because you're not obeying the commandment on your heart, this is where depression comes. Try me. Listen to what I'm saying. You want depression to lift off of you? You want to be filled with happiness and peace and joy? You need to understand the commandments in you. You need to understand my God and how to worship my God. And as soon as you begin to bow down and worship my God, he gives you peace that surpasses all understanding. He sets the captives free. He looses the pains. He comforts the mourning. And it's as simple as obeying the law written on your heart. That's how simple it is. It's not conforming to some religion. It's not conforming to some doctrine. It's about conforming to the law written on your heart. Now I need to get people to understand the difference between the law written on their heart. We have to throw away the cares and be honest with ourselves. Not being afraid, because how many of us are really afraid? Think about it. I'm going to tell you right now, the biggest battle in the spirit, in the heavenly realm, take this water for me. Take that cap. Thanks. The biggest battle in the spirit, and this is, I would say, the biggest warfare that we ever have to face, is fear. We're all consumed by it. And when you become honest with yourself, you will see that you have it too. And the reason why I say that is because God is perfect love, and God's love casts away all your fears. But we don't know God's love. And if I could put it in a simple carnal way for us to start, I would say, just love yourself and believe in yourself. And that will help you build. Because once you come across loving yourself and believing in yourself, then you can put the transition of God. And then you can take yourself out and put God in. But God doesn't exist until you do this. It's all about you. Now, I'm going to tell you, most of your depression, most of your place of being not happy is because you have issues with yourself. Maybe you don't like your job applications or whatever it is. Or maybe you don't like the way your family is. Or maybe you don't like the way you are personally. Maybe you think that you could be a little bit more fancier, you know, maybe a little bit more financially stable. Whatever it is, you don't like yourself. And because of that, it's killing your worship. It's killing your relationship with God. And this is what happens. Well, because we can't get over who we are, we get conformed with a religion. And then we feel better about ourselves because we try to follow a law. We try to follow a religion. Well, I'm spiritual now. I belong to such and such. Or I'm this now because I'm that. And I follow this. And that's what covers, that's what takes away how we see the truth. How we see ourselves. We need to start seeing ourselves for who we are and become honest with ourselves. And then when we become honest with ourselves, then we can find God. How many people are starting to understand what I'm saying? It's very important to understand what I'm saying. I don't want anyone to really get offended, but these offenses must come. These offenses must come because if you continue to live the way you're living and expecting to get peace and joy somewhere, you're never going to find it. You're going to go broke trying to pay for it. You need to find the peace and joy within. And if you're not happy with yourself, you're never going to find my God. And once you've overcome that battle and accept who you are and accept your circumstances, then you can bring God in. Then you can bring my God in. And then he'll take over. See, I think people are trying to do it backwards. They're trying to bring God in to heal how you think. But you have to change the way you're thinking first in order for God to come in. You see, this is why religion has no power. Religion could not save you. The only thing that can save you is God. And the only way that God can come in is you have to let go of yourself. You have too many cares. It could be the way you look. It could be the way you act. It could be the way you speak. It could be many, many imperfections that somehow or another you think are imperfect. Me, I'm perfect. There is no imperfection in me. You can pick me apart all you want, and I don't care. And why I feel this way is because I have a relationship with God. He has consumed me and taken my life, so now what I see is him. It's his imperfections, not me. It's his looks, it's not my looks. It's his conditions, not my conditions. It's his geographical location, not my geographical location. See, there's a scripture in the Bible, and maybe this will help you believe this. It is no longer I who lives, but he that lives within me. Is it possible that you can be transformed into his image and that you see what he sees? What do you see? This is the question. What do we see? What do you see? I guarantee if you ask yourself and you're honest, you'll see all negative garbage. It'll always be something, because this negative defeat is stealing your joy and peace. Your things that you see that you beat up so much is causing your pond to be stagnant, and you're sick and you're dying inside. Because you're seeing something that it's not God. God is not seeing that. God sees perfect. God sees love. God sees mercy. God sees, you know, everything beautiful. He didn't create anything ugly. Why are we seeing ugly? We shouldn't be seeing ugly. Let's build on this, and then we can pick apart what's ugly and what's not ugly, you know? We can define that stuff later. Let's look at the bigger picture. You know, let's get over the other stuff, and then we can pick apart the other stuff. You know, we're so quick to pick apart. Well, this is really bad, that's really bad, and I'm supposed to feel bad because this is bad. Let's get over it. We need to discover what joy is. I don't think the world understands what joy is. They have a knowledge of it, but they really never tasted it. I heard about it. It's just like vanilla ice cream. I heard about it. I know it's white. I know it's got these little beans in it. The ones with the beans taste a lot better than the ones without the beans, because we heard it all, but we never really tasted it. And if you tasted it, you might realize that you really hate vanilla. You never know. But what I'm saying is the experience is really the knowledge. How we feel and being honest with ourselves and facing honesty is life. We deceive ourselves, and especially when we don't want to be wrong, we lie to ourselves. If we can humble ourselves in life, God will change our circumstances. It's like this. If a man denies himself being broke, he'll never financially be free. Amen. He has to come to a place of truth and say, I'm broke. And not be ashamed to say it. And relieve himself from that stronghold. And then, after he comes to that place of humility and confesses to the truth, God turns it all around. And guess what? You're not broke anymore. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, rise up and walk. There is a richness in the spirit that we don't know. There's a joy in the spirit that we don't know. There is a love, there is a righteousness in a realm of the spirit that we just don't know. We are carnal. And we have to come out of that carnality. We have to come out of that world. The way we're thinking, we got to come out. And until we come out, we're going to be in the same position. And we're going to be expecting results. And these results are never going to come. They're never going to come. We're trying to resurrect dead things, and we have no power. The power is within. The power is truth. The power is looking at something and being honest with it. And then the power comes and changes our life. This is why I say to the world, you have to realize you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And until you can be honest with yourself and see you're sick and dead, you'll never resurrect and you'll never have life. Life is in truth. Life is in love. And I want to bring life not only in my own life, but I want to bring it in yours too. I'm being transformed from glory to glory to glory. I don't want to go alone. I want to bring you all with me. I speak on the things that I know. I'll never speak on the things I don't know. The joy that I have, I worked at it. It's called work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We need to work at it. Joy doesn't come just because you just say, I want it. Righteousness doesn't come because you want to just say, I want it. It comes through a process. And my God is the only one that can bring it. But it's your God too. When you embrace this word, when you embrace this truth, when you embrace this life. And then you'll never have to question again whether or not you're looking or finding the right one, because the witness inside of you will speak and say, I'm happy. I'm fine. I don't know what your problem is. I'm okay. And as far as righteousness goes, I'm wearing a white garment. I don't know about you. I have a crown on my head. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself with a white garment? Do you see yourself with a crown on your head? Do you see yourself walking with God? Do you see yourself in a kingdom? Do you see yourself in that place? What a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. How do you see yourself? I see myself with God. I see myself, and you know, some might say, you're a real prideful pig. And they can say that all they want. But I see myself walking with him in the cool of the day. I see myself walking with him. I see myself walking with the garment of praise and a crown of righteousness. I see myself clothed with many angels rejoicing and praising with me. And I'm so grateful that my eyes are opened up to see. And I hope and pray like he prayed. Who was it, Elijah? And they opened up his eyes and they said, oh, wow. I want our eyes to open. How many want their eyes opened here? I'm going to pray. If we could just bow every head for a moment. I'm going to pray the same prayer that Elijah prayed. I know this is the will of God. I know that God wants himself revealed and all of heaven. I know that God wants you to see clothed in him and not in yourself. I know God's love for you is so beyond what you can even imagine. So Father, I ask that you would open up their eyes and let them see the beauty. Let them see the crowns of many colors that are on their heads. The amber. The tongues of many fires. Let them see the pillars that they are. Let them see your glory, Lord. Let them see the clothed righteousness that is on them because of their purity and their love. Let them see that inside of them their intentions are all pure. Let them see their righteousness in you. Let them understand that earth is only a time of equipping, to be equipped for eternity, to be put in that place so that we're prepared. And it's not our permanent place of home. Put a desire in their heart to see the spirit of them, and the spirit of what they wear. And take away the natural. So that their strength is now your strength. And that their will is your will. And their life is your life. And everything is within you. I believe as you apply this anointing that has just been placed on you, see yourself now in the anointing. We're all going to make mistakes. But those mistakes are in Him. So you never made a mistake. In us, we become haughty. But in Him, we become free. Our boasting is no longer in us, but our boasting is in Him. Be not conformed to this world, but be conformed in the renewing of your mind. What a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Invite God in your heart today. And if He's there, invite a greater relationship. You can live with someone and not even have that time with them. Or you can live with them and it's all about them. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your anointing here. And I thank You for taking us to new levels. I thank You for revealing Yourself to us every day. I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Because of time, I'm going to probably just end the service. I know Duke might have some words to share. We have Thanksgiving coming.